morning. Appreciate the reading this morning, but we're actually going to go a different direction here at the last second, so we're going to switch our topic. But first of all, really glad that you're here today, and appreciate your faith. I say that every week, but I appreciate what you are as a brother and sister in Christ. And I get to say I love you all the time because I'm up here, but I love you and I appreciate you. And may God bless the walk of every individual that is in here to love the Lord your God every moment of your existence. Truly, we have a great God, and may we appreciate that, live for our Lord every single day. Just a note about, we have been doing leadership classes off and on. Sometimes we cancel those, our Sunday evening situations. I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to turn the fourth Sunday that we usually use Sunday night as a leadership class, the second and fourth Sunday. I think we're going to look at the second Sunday as maybe the one Sunday that we don't have an evening anything. And that allows us the opportunity, at least tonight, to go to the meeting, if you would like to, over at Sterling Avenue, and try to encourage the brethren there. But we'll do our leadership classes. I think we're going to just start going ahead on those and not canceling those, pretty much regardless of the personnel of who's going to be there on the fourth Sunday. So let's look at our leadership class on the fourth Sunday. We'll go forward. Next week, third Sunday, we'll be working on songs and stuff. So let's remember that next week at 5 o'clock. First Sunday, everybody's always invited to our house, and that's everybody. If everybody shows up, that's all right. Some of you can flood into the bedrooms, go upstairs, you know, whatever, but we'll make things happen. And the fifth Sunday, of course, we are going to be having a singing at kind of plan right now for the congregation at 2 o'clock. So that leaves one Sunday night then to be able to, if a meeting falls on that particular night, opportunity for that, but perhaps use that evening for some other opportunity as well. So a little change up, thus I don't have a PowerPoint. Let's turn to Psalm 139. I'd like for us to think about some things out of Psalm 139. I haven't prepped anything, so I don't have any fancy introductions for this text. I don't have anything greatly insightful except for just, you know, what I know about this text. But I know it's an amazing chapter, and I would like for us to think about some things from this chapter. It has to do with God being great, but there's a specific direction that he's coming from. God is great because of, from the psalmist standpoint here, about how God is aware of him and what God does for him and the sense of worship and the sense of exaltation that David has to bring up to the Lord because he's just dumbfounded by how God is so aware of his life. And I think in this that we can relate to this psalm. We know that God is with us. We know that God is watching us. We know that God is offering his care for us in so many different ways. But sometimes we kind of forget that. Maybe we just, you know, we go on with life. We kind of forget about how God is with our walk every single day in so many details. Maybe we need to be remembering this and praising our God because of what this really means. So let's take a few minutes here. We'll kind of keep this on the short side for a business meeting coming up here in a few minutes. But the beautiful psalm, O Lord, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me, and know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Here's the psalmist just truly, you know, amazed. You search me and you know me. You don't know when I sit down. You know when I get up. You comprehend. It's the idea of God being aware, of God thinking about, God analyzing my path, your path every single day. God is aware of what you are going through. God is aware of what you are facing, and God is acquainted with all of your ways. And that means, of course, that God knows everything about us, right? What does he not know about you? He knows more about you than you know about yourself. And he's aware of what goes on every day in your life. He's aware of when you get up in the morning, what time. He's aware when you brush your teeth. He knows how many cavities you have. You know how much tooth decay that you have. He knows whether you're going to shave or not today. God knows, you know, all of these things. God is aware of all of these things. But He's aware of what's bouncing around in your mind as well. God is always aware of what's bouncing around in your mind. God is never unaware of that. God is watching us from sunup till sundown during the night. God is always aware, comprehending what our life really is. And He's going to detail that here in just a moment, that there's no escape from God. God knows always what we are. He knows the things bouncing in our hearts. He knows the satanic stuff. He knows the godly stuff. God knows these things. Verse 4 says, as God is aware of all these things, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it all together. You know what comes out of my mouth. God knows everything, doesn't He? As we realize, James, the 3rd chapter, teaches us that the mouth is not always a really holy thing, is it? And God knows what comes out of our mouth. He knows when we cuss. He knows when we take His name in vain. He knows when we slander. He knows when we gossip. He knows when it's in our intent to tear other people down. He knows when we lie. He knows when we're dishonest. He knows when we speak a word of encouragement. He knows when we have stood for what is right in strength. He knows when we have in word been the light of the world. God knows all these things, doesn't He? But He knows what comes out of our mouth. To me, that's a scary thing. I try to be really careful with what comes out of my mouth. You do too. But have you ever found yourself, I really wish I would have kept my mouth closed a little more, you know, in that situation? No. I should have been a little bit more careful to guard what came out of my mouth. You know, we've been there. And there have also been times when I wish I would have said something that I didn't say. I lost the opportunity to say, oh, God knows all of these things. God is aware of what I'm doing with my mouth. We need to realize, of course, that eternal God is watching. The eternal God is fully familiar and comprehending what I'm doing with my heart and what I'm doing with my mouth, what I'm doing with my eyes, what I'm doing with my body. God knows all of these things. He says in verse 5, You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Here is a psalmist amazed that God has been with him to such a great degree. You know, here is David. You know, you think of David who got himself in so much trouble because of his own sin. But yet God was with him in so many different ways. You know, here is David is on the run and God is with David and God's protecting David. And all the opportunities that, you know, people could have used to kill him. Saul is after him and other people wanting to kill him, and God is with him. God is with him when he's turned his life around, and life is hard. Life is hard for David. David's having to run even from his own son, who would be king. But God is with David, and he says, you've hedged me behind. I'm in your envelope. I'm enclosed. There's your footnote. I am enclosed from behind and before. You are all around me, and you've laid your hand upon me. Do you realize how much God has laid His hand upon you? Do you know how much God is aware of your everyday existence? There's something that He says here later in the text that will bring us to this as well. Verse 17, how precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with You. And there's David who's aware. You know, how can you think about me? How can you be with me in so many ways? You know, we try to outline different ways in which God is with us, that, and we can't even comprehend it. Again, we have to be aware of how much our God loves us, how much He is with us every single day, how much He is helping us every single day. How many did not have a car wreck this morning? Do you realize you were driving around with 4,000 to 10,000 pounds of iron out there? That one little misdirection means losing your life? None of you had a wreck today. We didn't even think about I didn't have a wreck today, right? We only think about when we do have a wreck. Do you suppose that God was with any of us as we drove this morning? We don't think about it, do we? Could it be that God was with someone, with us, and, you know, we're approaching an intersection, and what happens at intersections? We know those to be very dangerous things. Could it be that God is aware and protecting us in our day, in our drive, in our walk? Why have I not been killed in this situation? Do we really walk across busy intersections with a light, with the way that people run red lights? Anybody here been killed walking across the intersection? I guess none of you have been killed yet, having done that. Anybody ever been hit? Everybody ever been hit, you know, walking across an intersection? Oh, you mean God was with you? Did anybody choke on their food this morning? Did you eat anything and you choked? Had to go to the hospital, you know, you're turning blue? We have no idea how much God is with us. And I believe that's the point of where the psalmist is going here. Oh my God, I can't fathom it, my God. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, David says. It is high. I cannot attain it. How precious, verse 17, are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. If I stop and think about it, I can't think about all the different ways that you are with me. Did you have working systems in your body this morning? Everything working? Your eyesight's working, your hearing's working, your smell is working, your taste buds are working. You know, the inner core, it's working all right. Your blood is going through where it's supposed to go. It's working. You know, the cells are being fed, and, you know, all of that mini world inside you is working all right. Everybody's system working today? Who do you credit for that? Well, I just happen to live on a planet where things kind of go forward. That's not the way it works. You credit God for this. Jesus is control of this world, Colossians 1. He's in control of the substance of this world. He's giving sustenance now and power now to uphold the world in Colossians 1, 14, 15, and 16. God is with us, and He's with us in so many different ways. Does your child actually ride on a bus and come home safe in the evening, in the afternoon? Away from your presence? God is with you. God is with your kids in so many different ways. The psalmist was just greatly impressed by this. Isn't he impressed by the simplest of things? You know, is that all you're impressed by, David? You know, that's really impressive to you? He got it, didn't he? He knew that God was constantly with him, providing for him, directing circumstances for him, helping him, keeping him out of harm's way when he could have easily lost the way or been hurt by others. And so verse 7 comes into play. This is the idea that I cannot get away from God. And many might turn this negatively to say God's going to judge you because he knows everything you do. But really the point here is, wherever I go, you offer your goodness to me. And he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I make the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be a light about me. Even the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And it's the idea that you can't get away from God. And though that's an awesome thought, it's the idea that God's goodness was just always with him, no matter where he went. God is aware. God is good to him. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of geographical location that I find myself in. If I find myself in darkness, you are the light in that darkness. It doesn't matter what happens. Where can I go from your spirit? Your spirit is always there with me. And we're talking about godly people, aren't we? People who serve the Lord that are blessed by their God. And God is so aware of their lives and so directing their lives and so helping their lives. Now, he actually does that a lot with people who even hate him. Think about how good he is to you and me that are trying to serve him. He is with us every moment of our lives. And if you're not getting the point now, perhaps you need to get the idea that if we have such a God like this, that's pampering us, providing for us, leading us, he's right here, I'm enclosed within him. He's helping me. Maybe he's a God that I should serve and a God I should praise. Maybe he's for me. He continues on. The psalmist does talk about his own body. For you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all were written, the days fashioned for me when it was yet, when as yet, there were none of these things. It says, I've been formed by you. I have come to be because of your great power. Here is the great God of heaven who is aware of all these things and has grown even David's body to the point of where he is. And he says, even before all this was finalized, mature, completed, you had an idea of things that were before me. You knew what was going to be going on in some ways before me. And he comes back in verse 17 again. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum. Your thoughts to me. How precious are your thoughts to me. How great is the sum of them. And I can't even count them. How is it you think about me? How is it you take care of me? How we take this for granted as Christians, as people on the face of this earth. But this is what God is doing. And in some ways, it's for every human on the face of the earth, but especially in special ways for the Christian. Now, David mentioned, I don't want to think in an evil way. You are with me and you're aware of everything going on with me, and I want to make sure that I am going to think properly and not be involved in evil. And thus, verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty man. In other words, here's men doing their thing against David, but God is with David. God knows that David knows that God is going to be with him. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred and count them my enemies. There's always the interesting question, does the Bible teach us to hate? Was David teaching people to hate people? And, it's a good question. Are we allowed to hate people? Well, we always come down to two things. There's an essence of people that we should hate. We might not hate somebody's soul. We want every person to be saved, right? But, when there's an evil part within a person, I hate the evil in that person. And that's who he is. I hate the evil. I hate the evil in me. We hate the evil, and it's tied up in this person. But at the same time, there's a love for that person because you want that person to know truth and to be saved. So there's a sense in which David is praying this prayer, and he's accurate. Because there's that sense in what humans are that is to be hated. Something about them is to be hated because they are involved in the satanic. But there is something about them, of course, that is to be loved. And that is why we work for all human beings. Even as Jesus Christ came and died for how many? All men. Loving all men. Well, David speaks of the hatred of God for the evil, but yet Jesus came loving all men. So we realize that there's this dichotomy. There is this sense of hating the evil essence of an individual, and there's the idea that we love an individual at the same time. But David says, "You, O God, you are aware of where I am, and you know I'm trying to stay abreast of my place in the world as righteous or wicked. I want to hate wickedness. And this is very, very important. Because we talked a lot about this lately, but, you know, I'm trying to live for God, and I'm trying to do what is right, but sometimes we don't hate wickedness like we should. Sometimes wickedness is okay with us. Sometimes wickedness in the world, sometimes murders we've talked about here recently, sometimes we're okay with that. Corruption that is in our world, it's all right. Government corruption, it's all, you know, it's all right. We need to hate all these things. We need to hate what God hates. And that's what David brings up here, is hating what God hates. We should loathe it. And when there's evil within us, in my heart, I should come to loathe that. I should hate it. David says, you know what I am, my God. And you know how I am trying to do what is right. I'm trying to hate wickedness. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, fears, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here's a scary thing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Do you really want God searching you? Who here wants God to search you? You know? It's bad enough when a doctor searches you, right? There might be something wrong with you, so you go to the doctor and he's going to search you. You're kind of afraid of that search, aren't you? I'm not really sure if you even want the doctor to search you, let alone, you know, to search you and then to come to conclusions about that. Oh, God, search me. There's junk and trash in my mind and it comes out of what I do. Search me. You are so close to me. You're with me all the time. You're aware of what I am. Lord, search me. Get into me and see what I am. Bring that out. Try me and know. Try me and know. I know. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my fears. You know, become aware of all these things. Of course, He knows, God knows, but just search me. Help me to see what I am so that that can be exposed and see, in verse 24, if there's any wicked way in me. Do you pray for God to expose any wicked way in your heart? Or do you find yourself kind of comfortable with just kind of plodding along, you know, I'm a Christian, just kind of plodding along and doing, you know, doing the thing, good things you're supposed to do? Do you really want to know the wicked ways of your heart? Do you want that exposed? Do you really want every nuance of evil that is within you to be exposed, for God to make that clear to you? That's a scary thing. Sometimes we think more like the world than we're willing to admit. And we cover it up and we stuff it away and think, you know, we're good people. We can be very afraid of being exposed to the actuality of what we are. But don't we really want the actuality? If you're going to be inspected by God, don't you really want everything to be ready for inspection? You know, don't you want to see it all, know it all? Yes. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. You think about what's working deep down within his heart, his frustrations, his anxieties, his fears, his stresses. What is it that's bringing all this to bear in me? What's bringing maybe the bad stuff out of me? Help me to see all of these things. But what he says lastly, in verse 24, is incredibly important. And lead me. Here's a good memory verse for you. Lead me in the way everlasting. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's David saying, I just don't want any trash in me. I don't want trash thinking. You know what I am. You've been with me in so many ways. Oh, Lord, here's what I want to give to you. I want to complete the process completely. You're so good to me. I can't even count the ways that you are good to me. O Lord, search me, know the way, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. So think about that with your own life. Are you weak, and basically you know you're weak? Admit it. I'm weak. Do you know you haven't really tried to serve the Lord with passion? Lord, search me. Help me to know. Help me to see. Do you know that trash thinking really goes around in your heart? Help me, Lord, to be honest with myself. I don't want dishonesty. I don't want to close my eyes to what I am and then answer to God later on for inspection time. Lord, open my mind, open my heart, help me to see what is, and lead me in the ways that are everlasting. This is critical. This is what kingdom people are made of. This is what life is made of. But it's a scary thing, isn't it? We grow too comfortable with what we are, wherever that is. We grow to the norm of what we are. Sometimes we have a norm, we find ourselves, you know, walking up the stair once in a while, you know, we've elevated 10 feet, you know, over what we used to be, and we can grow very comfortable, you know, from what we used to be, but yet we realize, man, I've got so much more to climb. I've got so much more junk and trash to get rid of, so much more of God to put in me. Do we get this? We have to do this. And this is the core of our being. What makes a strong church? Christians who think this way. What makes a strong Christian? Obviously. Someone who wants God to search the hearts, expose what he is, and to be led in the way that is righteous. Wow. May we live, and may we die, saying, Lord, lead me in the way. Help me to see the eternal way that is the right way, the way of truth. Wow. What an awesome psalm this truly is. God is awesome. David says, you are with me. And with me in so many ways, I can't even count how you are with me. This is true within our lives. But David saw this great need for him to be devoted to his God. And because God knows so much about him, he wanted God to expose everything that he was and for God to lead him in the way that was right. In the way of the eternal. The question is that really what you want in your life? Have you grown very comfortable with a norm that is not a standard of God? Do you possess something in name, but you don't really have the full spirit of Jesus Christ within you? You don't want that. I don't want it. Ours is to grow. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, open my heart, do surgery, be honest with me, I want to be honest with me, help me to be honest with myself, expose it all, erase it all, eradicate it, no matter what the cost might be, help me to be like you. This is where the psalmist was going. What a beautiful psalm. By the way, psalms are really good for living room table, right? They're good for dusty Bibles, leave them in the dusty Bible. If you're a student of the Psalms, you've come to realize these are heart texts that really have to do with how we think before God, and they're really indispensable in our walk with our God. Well, we've not talked about how to come to Jesus Christ. We've done that many times since we've been here. We talked about the joy that comes from that. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian. There's water right here. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll use this opportunity because it is the day of salvation. The present is always the day of salvation. I hope that you'll think about where you are. Want God to erase your sins through Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll come in faith, being motivated by your faith, to trust in your Lord and to move forward to be baptized into Jesus Christ. You can be raised today to walk in a newness of life. How incredible that is. Why not use this opportunity, make your faith known? Be baptized, become a Christian. Do that right now. Together we stand and as we sing.